flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Yeah, the beat rolls on here on a Thursday In the Loop. Hope you're having a good one thus far. 713-572-4610 is the text line. And somebody cleared up in the, what was it, buy or sell when we were talking about the... Who was it that cut their hand again? Oh, Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, Scotty.
Who had cut his hand making lasagna, or not lasagna, ravioli, different pasta. But apparently he was using a wine glass to kind of...
Yeah, that's what I said.
I thought you said
a wine bottle,
like roll it out. No, he's using a wine glass.
Oh, did I say meant glass?
To cut the...
I was wondering, I'm like, damn, he broke a wine glass?
Yeah,
a
wine bottle was tough. Like, I was like,
a wine bottle? Yeah.
I was like, I could believe it.
I could see a wine glass.
I was thinking wine glass. Sorry about that, fellas.
Okay. You're not a...
Sincerely, from the bottom of my heart.
All right. That was... You laid it on too thick. All right. How locked in have you been to various draft things? It's been kind of one of the benefits for the Texans in... Mm-hmm. I guess relative depth that they went into the playoffs is that we could kind of push off some of the player acquisition thoughts and talks that that you might have had in the past very early on when you look up and like later in the season you're like, oh, okay, this is not is not going very far, let's start looking. Like I guess, and this is where I probably will have to put a dollar on the helmet, my friends that are still in that are in Dallas, right, the season that they had, mm-hmm. where it was very evident they weren't doing nothing special. I'm talking like pretty early in the week 14 type mm-hmm. stuff where they were like, well, let's start looking at players, right? But the Texans had a lot of high hopes. They get to a place, and obviously we're still in the playoffs. Now that you're kind of into a little bit of a lull before you get to the Super Bowl, have you started dipping into draft things? Have you looked at mock drafts? How much or how tapped in are you into, you know, some of the broadcasts of like the Senior Bowl? I know mm-hmm. that was it NFL Network that's had some.
Oh, everywhere.
ESPN has some coverage of those practices. How tapped in have you been?
You know, I almost feel like apologetic that as much as I have been.
Right.
You know, because like last year, I will say last year I wasn't quite as tapped in. We're like, we're good, you know. We're okay, let's just see what happens as we get closer to the draft. I think it's more the power of the NFL, and as we mentioned yesterday, it's not even an NFL event, the Senior Bowl, but there's just such an NFL presence there. It's just the power of the draft and the power of NFL that just sucks you in, because a lot more, to answer your question, than I thought I would be. I mean, like, literally, you know, most of the day, I go back and check some stuff or read some stuff, you know, et cetera.
Yeah. And so we're seeing all sorts of people. I know that John Harris, who was at the Senior Bowl, called in, talked to Payne and Pendergast earlier this morning. Worth the listen, I think. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and check out the Payne and Pendergast. I was about to say YouTube. Check out, well, first of all, definitely check out YouTube, Sports Radio 610, but check out sportsradio610.com and check out the podcast page is what I wanted to get to, because you definitely want to hear John Harris on those things. But yeah, man, I only just started dipping into like some more mock draft stuff and starting to get a little bit deeper outside of like the cursory watching a whole bunch of college football. And then, you know, starting to look at maybe the ways that some of these players are being evaluated. And that made me think like, hey, we probably should just establish, as you're talking about player acquisition, what is it that you actually need as a Houston Texans team?
Well, here's where it ties back with our conversation we had earlier on the coaching staff and Bobby Slowick, how much of a disconnect was there, who you're going to bring in as offensive coordinator, because this is key to me. Like, if the new offensive coordinator comes in and says, we can win with my system with these offensive linemen, then you might be good. And, you know, his blocking scheme might be very different than what Bobby Slowick was demanding. And so he might be able to say, no. We can double with Titus at guard and whomever, Jared Patterson, whomever at center, and we can win with this. If that's the case, then my focus would be more wide receiver, maybe some other positions. Because if you can play with these offensive linemen in the new system, then you might be able to be good at that spot, you know?
Yeah, I hear what you're trying to do.
Because you're paying them.
You are paying them.
Yeah.
Right? And that's definitely going to make this more difficult to deal with. But I feel like they're going to have to jump through some hoops. I don't know if you can jump through the amount of hoops that would be necessary to make fans like just patently happy. Because, I mean, we're talking about, get rid of three of the guys and like have a full overturn. And I do wonder how feasible that is. But offensive line, particularly on the interior, is still one of those things that I think it's worth engaging with. I feel like, looking for a guard is still one of those things. If for no other reason, right, you're talking about, all right, maybe Titus at left guard. Juice, you still want him to play right guard? Like, I think that even that if you're moving things around and getting it to a good place, I think right guard at the very least is one of those positions that it feels very evident that Shaq Mason, it's not just, you weren't just dealing with injuries, you weren't just dealing with anything of that sort. You're dealing with a decline.
Right.
And he's had a fantastic career up to this point, but if you're dealing with a decline as a team on an upward trajectory, I mean, at least you hope, knock on wood or what have you, you need to have probably a player there that fits a little bit better with that trajectory. And I feel like guard is absolutely one of those ones that I would look at before you even start talking about, hey, some other ones, where how do you feel about the idea of Jared Patterson or Juice Scruggs continuing at center? Like, are you locked in on those guys?
Well, early on in the season, I liked what Juice Scruggs was doing, and they played him there. And I believe it was Nick Caserio said, let's be very clear, you know, his better position is center. So I'm not ready to give up on Juice Scruggs at center,
especially
just
in a different scheme.
In
possibly.
A different scheme, especially, yeah. So I think Juice, I'm not going to say you're good, but I'm not ready to give up on him. What I am saying is if these three guys just do not work here, and especially with the new coordinator system, then you're looking at free agents on the offensive line and multiple draft picks on the offensive line. I think it changes everything.
Yeah. So I mean, at least it feels like at absolute worst, you need one on the offensive line.
For sure.
Probably a guard. I think probably you would like to see probably two players. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that inherently has to be draft. That's draft / free agency. Although getting into what the free agency looks like, because you've got a lot of free agents that you're going to need to deal with. Another need that you're going to need, obviously, you mentioned wide receiver. Let's stop and talk about that in a big way. I think that it probably makes sense for both sides that Stephon Diggs returns.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do think that you probably need a wide receiver.
Tank?
Yeah, because Tank is probably going to miss a majority of, you know, he's definitely going to miss a majority of next season. He might miss the entirety of next season. What kind of receiver would you want? Would you want a Tank-like receiver, understanding that there is a slight possibility that you come back on the backside of this and now you have two Tank Dells, and that is an interesting proposition? Or are you in the place where you have enough questions about a Tank Dell who's had quite a few of those lower body injuries as a relatively smaller wide receiver and those things, where maybe, just maybe, you might have to start living with the possibility that Tank doesn't return to being the same guy, or maybe even if you don't necessarily even get him back at all, really?
You're going to need to draft a wide receiver no matter what. But I kind of hate to keep going back to this. Tell me what the system's going to be. It's very important they know who their offensive coordinator is and what they're going to be running.
Do you anticipate a system where you don't have three wide receivers that matter?
No, but you might need a bigger body on some.
Got you.
To be a blocker. You know, you can maybe if you're more tight end driven, then all of a sudden things shifted to the tight end position, which, by the way, is my number three. Hell, it might be number one.
Tight end is an interesting one. Okay.
You know, so those are my top three is wide receiver, offensive line, tight end. But I want to know, you know, and I know they want to know, like, if we're going to be a two tight team, an 11 personnel, as they call it, 12 personnel, et cetera, that changes the type of receivers you're drafting. Like, you can maybe get away with some smaller type wide receivers. But if you're going to command Chip Kelly, he's a big time. And, of course, we're not going into that discussion. But let's say Chip Kelly type offense. And three of these guys that are in here have Chip Kelly ties. He's big on big receivers blocking, you know. Now, everybody says they want their receivers blocking, but some put a bigger premium on it than others. So, we got to know. We got to know who this the coordinator is going to be, and I think it clears up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, it's why you're interested and eager to see who mm-hmm. they ultimately land with, outside of the obvious reasons why you'd be interested and eager. I know that we're in that timeline where now we all want to get to that place, but mm-hmm. Like I said, we're a week shy of 3 months out from the draft, funny right. enough. So, like, there's still time to sort these things out, but mm-hmm. yeah, that will become a lot clearer once you have your coordinator. But I think it's evident that you need at least one wide receiver. I don't know how. I think that I really do.
You need at least one.
At least one. And now, if you don't return, Stephon Diggs doesn't return, that's where it gets really interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to lean more and more into the idea that it makes sense monetarily for the Texans. And I think that Stephon Diggs might be in another prove it deal type year mm-hmm. before he goes and tries to get some more money in the market. How about on the defensive side? Or, first of all, you mentioned, let me finish the offensive side, because you mentioned tight end. Mm-hmm. And that felt like a place that they were just kind of going to kind of be set on. Because you have a young Cade Stover. You remember you signed mm-hmm. Brevin Jordan to another 1 year deal, which I think we were all very happy with. Not expensive. Another short term deal, which is, I guess, again, serves as a little bit of a prove it for Brevin coming back off of an injury. And then, the elephant in the room is the big money that is going to Dalton Schultz in a way that I don't mm-hmm. think that you're going to get off of.
Give me a tight end. I still think they need one. I really do. You know, you got Irv Smith, Tegan Quatoriano. You're going to need three solid ones. Cade Stover, I think we all kind of like what we saw, but I need another tight end. I need another tight end on this offense. Again, especially if it's one that's going to be, you know, dominated by that position with, you know, on the interior line.
Somebody said sign Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill got to be 36 years old at this point. And I'm not, that's not
no,
me.
He probably
that's
is.
Not me like telling a joke. Mm-hmm. All right, he's 34. Okay. But yes, by the way, didn't I realize he's technically from Idaho? But yeah, Taysom Hill, I'm probably
good on that.
And I think that he's probably still under contract in New Orleans anyways, because that's one of those guys that they played kick can on. You remember the time mm-hmm. that they signed him to an extension with all void years?
Yeah.
This is if you ever were wondering, why does Reggie care so much about the fact that the New Orleans Saints keep playing these games with the salary cap?
Mm-hmm.
They got to the point where, in order to make numbers, just the faux accounting,
yeah,
make numbers fly around, they gave a quarterback who's not a quarterback, who's a tight end but also a running back and all those things,
and an H-back,
a 4-year contract, and none of it was real. It was all fugazi.
Yeah.
I'm still very amazed by that. But yeah, people are agreeing with you on the idea of needing another tight end. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I'd put that as a high priority. You would. We'll see how that ultimately plays out as you keep going. Defensively, I feel like one definitely pops up for me. And there's another one that I think a lot of people have talked about. I've seen kind of in various different mediums that I'm interested in.
Interior defensive line.
That's the one that everybody's talking about, is interior
largely
defensive line,
because
defensive tackle.
It's a real strength.
Yes.
In the draft. Like in the draft, it's apparently just a really, really big time strength. So, you know, you've got some guys in there that have certainly done the job.
Mario, Settle.
Both of them. And Folo. But again, you know, you're trying to build that super front, you know, and if you got a guy there that can help you. I think defensively, interior defensive line and safety.
Safety. I was going to go cornerback just that room. Or maybe you just go DB and you save it. But yeah, safety and cornerback. Like, you had incredible play at the top end.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we saw is, as injuries came through in the sport that I always refer to as the car crash sport, injuries are going to happen, and you knock on wood and you hope that you don't sustain a lot of them or many of them at particular positions of need. But depth, especially in a cornerback, in a sport where we have continued to lean heavier and heavier towards a passing game, giving Kamari and giving Derek Stingley Jr. more support. And giving D'Amico Ryans more flexibility. It felt like there were instances where there was not a lot of flexibility because you just did not have the depth in those places. I feel like this is the time to maybe flex a little bit of that depth, especially for some young and controllable talent, talent.
Yeah.
That'd be real helpful. Are there any other ones that pop up for you when you talk about like, hey, needs? Yes, A32 also got to safeties and cornerbacks.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would add would be that cornerback that, as you said, but I would, I've always been of the belief that you should draft a cornerback every other year, no matter how good your cornerbacks are. You can't have enough of them, especially with the nickel and the pass packages that are there now. So I wouldn't be against a cornerback either by any stretch.
I do appreciate this text from the 281. If they don't take a wide receiver, they should take best player available. I wasn't talking about a wide receiver specifically at one, but I do think that this does give us an opportunity to talk about, the draft strategies, and I'm sure we'll have many opportunities. Best player available is one of those things that we always clamor for.
Yeah.
But I feel like I lean more towards like a hodgepodge. And you can say I'm sitting on the fence all you want. I don't care. Best player available at a position of need is the way that you have to do this.
Yeah, best player available for us.
Yeah.
Because they all toss it around. Oh, we're just about getting accumulating talent. And well, but you really need a guard. How did it work out that the best player available happened to be a guard?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the way that you do this is you kind of power rank those needs. Those are the ones that are the most vital. And this is where you doing your work outside of it, whether it's free agency and just like in years prior, making it so that you don't have a need that is so heavy that it forces your hand, gives you the flexibility to go, hey, this is the group of positions that we would like to address. And let's look at the best players up here, unless there's somebody who just blows our doors off. And then you can get the best player available within that kind of group and class. And then, boom, you're cooking with grease at that point.
What do you think the Baltimore Ravens are going to draft?
Well, I mean, at some point. Hopefully not like in the second round, like that one time when the Bucks took Bobby Aguayo. No, all due respect to Bobby Aguayo, but I have a feeling that they're going to have a kicker in mind there. Why do I say that? I'll tell you why in a little bit. But it looks like the Houston fans will have a little bit of support available for Baltimore fans, because it seems like they might be going through something that we went through here in Houston with Justin Tucker. We'll talk about that a little later. I don't want to harsh the vibes right now, because right now in Loop on Sports Radio 610 is typically where we hand it over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape, and that's typically good vibes.
Yeah. So, what would Jalen Hurts be, quarterback for the Eagles? What would he be if he wasn't in the NFL? And I think a lot of Houstonians will like this. Plus, I got the details of the Popeyes and Don Julio collab.
This Popeyes and Don
Julio.
You
still got more on that?
I can't get away from it. We'll talk about it next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. Jalen Hurts, the pride of Channel View, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Stand up.
Yep. What do you guys think he would be if he wasn't in the NFL?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. What do
sports
you think?
Sports or like just industry?
Just anything. Yeah. Not sports related.
I don't know. What do you
think he wants to be?
Whatever he would be, it would be enough time for him to hit up the cigar lounge afterwards, go get him a nice drink with his Kangol on, smoke him a cigar.
Based on his outfit that made a lot of run over the weekend. You saw it.
I cannot wait to hear how you interpreted that.
Pants pulled up pretty high, khaki, little pullover, like a sweater shirt. You know, it wasn't a sweater, it wasn't a shirt. It was kind of like, I don't know what it was. Almost like a
kind of a turtleneck.
Kind of mock turtleneck.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say vice principal.
See, that's not where I would have went.
Vice principal.
I'm trying to think. What's the most unk jobs of all unk jobs? Yeah. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Vice principal.
That is.
Nah,
that looked like a vice principal.
No, it did not.
Yes, it did.
No, that man said Shamar Moore be out here looking like a vice principal. That's crazy.
Yeah, he looked like the boyfriend on a sitcom. The boyfriend that walked through the door on the sitcom.
That worked as a vice principal.
Oh, hell no.
I'm trying to think. What does the cool unk always be doing?
Yeah.
You have an answer here, Figgy?
Nah, I don't.
Someone said he would be a butcher, if not a football player. Why is that? A realtor? Yeah. Okay.
Well, this is his answer right there. He actually answered this question. This is his answer to that.
I could be a coach, I mean, obviously my dad, but I would probably be like a professional crawfish cooker. Like, I got the best crawfish ever.
My man, I did not know he was so into crawfish like this.
Hey, I mean, I could actually see that. I always get my crawfish in Liberty.
Sorry, 860 just texted in the Stacey Adams model, which is that
y'all, is that's hilarious. Yes, that's it.
Good
right
answer.
There.
Good answer.
Rocking them hush puppies.
Woo!
Best crawfish that I buy whenever we cook is in Channel is in Liberty, which is not too far from Channelview. So okay. I bet you he's done a lot of that.
Yeah. So yeah. This is him. He was with a guy by the name Martenzi. I want to say, I think that's his name, Martenzi Johnson of Anscape. And they were talking about crawfish, so I'm going to set the scene a little bit. It was kind of like a kitchen feel, and they had a bowl of crawfish right there. Mm-hmm. And Martenzi pretty much asked them about what looks good in crawfish, what's a good sign of crawfish and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is Jalen Hurts breaking it down.
I think walking into the room, I don't have to look at these crawfish to see that there's an issue. The thing about crawfish is I ought to smell them from a mile away. I should smell them walking to the street. And once I get to the backyard or front yard, I know what time it is. Crawfish is one of those things that I think is just rooted in me from my dad. He grew up with a lot of confidence in it, and he actually kind of built the name for himself in our community, and I don't do crawfish for nobody else.
What do you think is missing from these particular crawfish?
Well, we got broccoli in the crawfish.
That's what? The first no-no?
He's not wrong.
Okay.
What a nice color. When you cook crawfish, you want it to be filling. You know, you can have some shrimp, you can have some potatoes, you can have corn. Get down south, you have turkey necks, neck bones. These days, I know people that just try and throw anything in there. My dad throw chicken wings in there.
Can you say your recipe, or is that like a hidden family secret?
I would say this, if they're not clean, then you can put all the nice things in there, all these fancy seasonings in there, but if they're dirty crawfish, they won't amount to anything.
Dude, he knows.
He seemed like he knows what he's talking about.
You got to purge them. That's what he's talking about. You purge them in some salt water first, and that gets them nice and clean. Dude, he's
not playing.
He's not playing.
Nah. Why does it sound like he has like a trade magazine? Like he gets crawfish monthly or something?
No,
sent to his house.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of? And I didn't see the video, Figgy. I just heard that audio. But it reminds me like somebody asks you kind of a fun question and then you get all serious about it. Like, hey, so what do you think about? Okay, let me tell you about crawfish.
She's that's me every time somebody's like, oh, yeah, so what do you think about like the Rockets? And I'm like, all right, but so I love that they have these first round picks, but I feel it's like, that was not what we were trying to do at all.
That guy was trying to have a fun, nice interview, and Jalen's in there, all right, so here's the deal.
Yeah. he said, the first thing I realized, I ain't smell it when I walked through the door. So that's the first problem.
The second problem,
you got broccoli in here.
Broccoli.
Which actually, that is the very first problem. Broccoli?
Yeah.
No, but I do love, because I was like, is he so good at crawfish that he was talking about uncooked crawfish that he just has that scent that, nope, those ones aren't good. I'm going to need some different ones. But yeah, he meant cooked, and he's absolutely right. You should be able to smell cooked
crawfish. I would love to, if he weren't in the Super Bowl, I would pray that he was on Radio Row so we could talk to him about it. He knows it.
If I run into him, I'm going to ask him about it. I'm going to kind of
maybe Media Day.
Yeah, yeah.
Media
so
Day.
Hopefully somebody ask him about some crawfish. Yeah. But
that was awesome.
713 said, why does that surprise y'all? Yeah, we knew we could be a high school coach. His pops is a high school coach, all those things. Mm-hmm. I think the surprise is more just that the level of seriousness that he takes with the crawfish. Not that like
a lot of people like crawfish,
100%.
But just how deep he is into crawfish and how his dad was into it. All that stuff.
Chicken wings and a crawfish, huh?
Yeah, I never heard of that.
I haven't heard of that one. What we do pretty generic, you know, potatoes, corn, crawfish. We put raw eggs in there and make them hard boiled.
I've seen those before.
Okay. Baby, those are good.
Do you ever put mushrooms in them?
We put mushrooms in them sometimes.
Let them solve up that flavor.
Yeah.
Solid.
So this is Jalen Hurts. So the guy asked him, what's your price for? So backstory: Jalen Hurts is very picky. Mm-hmm. I seen a couple other videos where he said, "I eat none but my mama's barbecue."
Oh wow!
So yeah, it was a fun little video, but. Here's Jalen Hurts pretty much talking about, do it come with a price for you to try somebody else's crawfish?
There's a price. You know, when you asked me that, the first thing that came to my head was like, what would it take to like open up a restaurant, like something like that? Like, it's a real thing, it's a passionate thing, and maybe one day I'll open up a crawfish restaurant or something like that to give everybody an experience.
We getting Jalen Hurts crawdads.
I'm down for it, man.
Jalen Hurts crawdads.
Hey, he really should do that.
I'll
man.
Be there.
And don't open it up in Philly, man.
They're not gonna appreciate it.
They don't deserve that.
They're not gonna appreciate it.
Open it up in Channel View.
Yes.
Like I would drive to Channel View.
It's
for
not
this.
That far. It's an easy
yeah.
drive.
Yeah. I think I'm
especially from where you are now.
Yeah, I'm actually right by Channel View. So yeah, man. Like, hey, let's get this going, man. If I see him at Media Day, I'm gonna tell him to get that going, man. The streets need that one.
100%. From the 929, it's like Bill Belichick talking about the history of long snappers. There's that, and there's one more thing that actually isn't even like sports related that I'm trying to remember. Those are the things that outside of just like the fullness of drawing up a play or whatever that I've seen Bill Belichick light up about.
Lawrence Taylor.
That's one. He has all the reverence for that man.
And he used to do this in a press conference, man. Yeah. This ain't just like a podcast conversation. Mm-hmm. He was doing it in a press conference.
Yeah.
And all them boring ass answers he was giving.
And I was like, as soon as you break up long snapper.
Yeah, or long snapper. Then he going for a good 20 minutes.
Light up. Y'all got some interesting things. Someone said they put green olives in there. They said it's super underrated. Someone said they put Brussels sprouts in there. Which
that's kind of like broccoli, right?
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I'm up for it. I'll try it.
I mean, I'll give it. You seem convincing enough, but I don't know. I'm a little skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you need to convince me.
Yeah, but salute to Jalen Hurts, man. Crawfish expert.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. I want to go to his restaurant.
Yeah.
Open it now. I need it. Yeah. It's crawfish season right now.
Yeah.
So speaking of food and speaking of being in New Orleans, I actually got the information on this Don Julio and Popeyes collab.
Oh, here we go.
Do you guys want to hear what's going on with this?
Not really, but we will.
Now I do.
All right, so the headliner is the new Popeyes, the Tequila Don Julio Reposado.
Reposado.
Yes. flavored conca. Conca chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the
concha. Concha.
Yeah, that's the I guess the Mexican, is it like a sweet bread?
Yes.
A pastry?
Yeah, the concha is that big round half moon one.
Is it a pan dulce? Is that
pan dulce,
what we do? Yeah. Put a little sauce on it too.
Yeah, so this is pretty much a chicken breast filet marinated in a reposado tequila, then fried in Popeye's crunchy buttermilk breading topped with a tequila lime slaw. Spicy spread, a barrel cured. I can't talk today.
Yeah.
Pickle.
It's that medicine you on. That's what's happening.
No, that's exactly,
they were like, no cough, but you can't talk.
That's exactly what it is. And then got that conca roll. So
all right. So
that's one of them.
Real quick on that. That's a lot. That's a lot of stuff all kind of melded together. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, to me, I feel like those Nashville hot chicken sandwiches, they kind of, I feel like that's kind of the same style, but they just marinating this in the tequila. But the other thing they have is the flavor Louisiana garlic three-piece wing, which is marinated in that
same
Reposado flavored tequila.
Mm-hmm.
And then they to top it off, they got the spicy strawberry
hibiscus
flavor lemonade mocktail.
Well, and they are mixing together some stuff, man.
And so, and this is, and you can't get it in Houston. They only got limited locations, so they got New York, Miami, New Orleans,
wait, what,
Philly, and Kansas City.
What was the third one?
New Orleans. Know we gotta do it, man.
Sounds like Figgy's gonna be on the gram.
We got to do it, man. Hey, ain't nobody else going to do it here.
You're darn right.
So we're going to be.
All we got to do is try, man. I ain't saying
in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And of the limited meals that we will have on ground.
Mm-hmm.
You got to try it.
You want me eating Popeyes?
You got to try it, man. You can't get this at every Popeyes. You got to try it, man, just to say you tried it.
Y'all some fools.
I'll go.
All you got to do is try it, man. You ain't got to eat the whole sandwich.
I want to know what a concha and all that other stuff in there that they have on the down. Right. Yeah.
So yeah, make sure you keep it locked on the Sports Radio 610 Instagram page,
because
I imagine that along with the other New Orleans shenanigans will show up there. By the way, again, shout out to Fly by Yingling for helping us get out there.
Yeah, and follow us on Instagram too, at Sports Radio 610. Follow me at The Figgy Fig and on Instagram. And yeah, it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fun week next week.
It really is.
Now that we've said it on air, we have to go to the Popeyes and get this too.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
All you gotta do is just try a little piece.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Give a little reaction to it. Say you did it. And by the way, I think you have to be 21 and over.
Oh, so it's actually got the
actual tequila.
Yeah. So that's kind of a little tricky.
I thought this is going to be like the beer battered shrimp or whatever. Yeah. We got the whole name on it, but it's not actually going to do nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So we could get out of here on this, man. Stephen A. I love listening to Stephen A. sometimes, man. What do you think? So he had an opinion on Amen Thompson the other day when he had that big game against Boston. What do you think he said about Amen Thompson?
Oh, he loves him some Amen, doesn't he? Yes?
Maybe. How do you think he said it in Stephen A., in the Stephen A. way?
Oh, okay. So now this is what you're doing. You're setting me up.
Yeah.
Now listen. Amen Thompson is a dear friend. I love this young brother's game. But for Reginald Atatula to say that he is like Scottie Pippen is preposterous.
Well, he did go that far.
Okay.
Now, he did.
I have to yell, otherwise Stephen A. Smith is very bad.
He did say something similar.
He loves using the brother.
This is what he had to say about Amen Thompson.
Thompson, this brother, I'm here. Hear me and hear me good, Wendy. This is a future star in this league.
This brother's special.
Wendy is so right. He plays bigger than what he is. He's a tenacious defender. Definitely a damn good rebounder. Got size. Nice step back move. That was on Jaylen Brown. That's who he did that to, okay? He didn't do that to just anybody. He did that to Jaylen Brown. So let's remember that as well. Got nice size on him. Tremendous athleticism. Plays with a lot of energy. Is fierce. Got a lot of heart, etc.
That was pretty cool, right?
Hell yeah.
That was pretty cool. A lot of praise from Stephen A. Smith.
Now, I got to ask y'all this. What do y'all think he said about Bronny James? So, Bronny got in the game against Philly a couple days ago.
I saw the highlights.
In the first quarter, man.
That was one of the ones that didn't make the cut on my buy or sell when J.J. Redick said, oh, I probably put him in a bad position. No, you didn't.
Yeah, the bad position is playing in a National Basketball Association.
Yes, he's game. Just not good.
Well, I think
Steve... Did he go after J.J.?
He didn't go after J.J.
Okay, well, then that's my guess.
He did go after somebody's dad who's on that team.
Okay.
This is what he had to say about Bronny James.
I'm really, really trying to be as respectful as I possibly can be LeBron James. I am pleading with LeBron James as a father. Stop this. We all know that Bronny James is in the NBA because of his dad. Right now, Bronny James is averaging 0.3 points, 0.3 assists.
Hitting those zeros hard.
And 0.4 rebounds. You know what people are saying. You know what they're going to do to this kid. How are you doing him favors?
Why are you making it seem like he just sent them to Iraq or something?
Well, I mean, the basketball
version. You know
version.
What people are doing? Why would you do this to this kid?
So he went after LeBron.
I mean, he's the one who's responsible for Bronny being that space.
Like, Stephen A., he's not wrong.
I do think, though, like, this is why I thought, like, them giving him a, you know, NBA contract was aggressively wrong part of this thing. If he gets drafted, that's one thing. Like, second round pick, you're not going to get me to be too mad. Yeah. If they sign him to like a two-way deal or something like that, cool. Like, let him play in the G League. That's where he needs development. I mean, it was one of those things where people were talking about he probably shouldn't have left college because he still needed development.
I don't think he would start in college for most teams.
Maybe not. He still needed development. And I thought, okay, if he goes to the G League, go continue to develop there. That's fine. Do that. Put him on this NBA floor, man. We're not helping nobody out. Like, this is literally helping no one.
Yeah. No, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
This just in, the NBA talent is really, really good.
I didn't know he was averaged at 0.0.
Who says it like that?
Yeah.
Nobody says 0.4. Except for Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. does it.
Trying to make it abundantly clear. Somebody said if Bronny James was on the University of Houston basketball team, he would be the third string guard. He absolutely would.
At best.
By
the way, shout out to UH getting another victory versus West Virginia yesterday. And the reason why I know that is because I have the alerts to try and remind me when games are on. except I didn't see the game, the alert that when the game started. So I just saw the alert that they won. I was like, damn. I wanted
49 points.
Wanted to watch that one.
They gave up 49 points.
Is that good? Okay. That's Figgy's mixtape. At the Figgy Fig on Instagram, all the social media. Hit him up if you see something.
Give us all a follow, man.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, you hear that at 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here in the loop. All right, coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to the drive with Clint and Show. But before we get there, apparently the Baltimore Ravens, there's a little bit of, I guess, breaking news. The Baltimore Ravens are now in a place that is somewhat similar to the Texans where they had been prior. I'll explain next.
You don't think that's a little bit strange?
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Been a very fun Thursday here in the loop on a Sports Radio 610. We've laughed, we've cried.
We have. We've had. Well, I don't know about crying.
Oh,
we were close. I was close once.
Fair enough. but man, it's been a fun one. Glad or thankful for all you that have joined us on this, especially for those of you that have been on the Odyssey app, because you know when you do that, you have a chance to win. And I want to see our listeners be winners. So all you got to do in order to do that is listen to Sports Radio 610 as you always do, but on the Odyssey app. Make sure that you're using that, whether it's on your phone or on the desktop or what have you. Do that for an hour each day, and you get entry into the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. And remember that the winner will be headed to Vegas with a flight and with hotel accommodations for you and three guests, plus $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of college basketball tournament stuff. So there you go. Go ahead and make sure that you're listening there. Some other things that have popped up during the course of our show. One of them is kind of incredible. And I don't mean that in a good way, like incredible in the ways that, like, the truest sense of the words is that just, I am flabbergasted by this. Justin Tucker, Texas alum, one of the best kickers of all time in the NFL, huge, Baltimore Ravens legend, is now under similar allegations that were, you know, levied against a former Houston Texan, Deshaun Watson. And of course, he's a Cleveland Brown now, and I don't love bringing that back to the Houston Texans, but we went through this process here.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't think that's a little bit strange?
Well,
I knew that was coming.
It's definitely a lot. It's a lot strange, in fact. The Baltimore Banner, which is not their major paper out there, but mm-hmm. kind of almost like an alternate paper in some ways. A little bit smaller of a paper, but they do at least, I guess this is kind of editorial, I believe that they do pretty good work around the city. They have a piece that, you know, details apparently two spas saying that they have banned Justin Tucker, and he denies the behavior that is alleged. He was alleged to have engaged in inappropriate behavior at four high-end spas and wellness centers, according to six massage therapists. And I'm sure that we can get into the details, but you know exactly where this is going once I put it in those terms. Like, this feels like one of those things where he's probably gone, right?
Okay, yeah, a couple things. Just allegations, of course, for foremost. You mentioned the report. I'm sure that it was vetted and seen by a number of lawyers and others,
sure.
folks.
I mean,
so,
if we're going to talk, we might as well. Like, yeah. You know this uniquely, being a writer for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people that are not in the media landscape don't fully grasp this or don't like think about it, which I think is fair, right? It's not within your purview, but when things get out to print, there's a progress and there's a process of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with things of this nature, that are going to be salacious, there are laws against slander and libel that open papers to liability, and papers don't like liability.
Yeah.
So they'll take these types of things to their legal departments and make sure that that these are things that they feel comfortable defending mm-hmm. when they put them out. Isn't that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And the reason I mention that is because the allegations themselves are pretty, salacious and pretty egregious. In fact, in the story, it says, and we're not going to get into this so much. We can talk about it some more tomorrow. But basically, I fully expect Rusty Harden versus Tony Busby 2. You know, like,
it's not a crime.
Yes, because it's so similar to the point that, according to the story, you know, a couple of spas banned him from returning. There's the same similar allegations. Six massage therapists said that he did some you know, obviously forward, very forward things.
Occasionally there was a happy ending.
Maybe. I haven't heard that.
Oh, my goodness.
But very, very similar. So we might be able to, as we kind of dig in more on the story and more comes out today, we might dig in a little more, you know, on the details and some of the things it might mean. But the short answer is he gone.
It feels like he's gone. It probably should have been,
Or at least I thought, because he wasn't that good last year.
Did it have an effect? Did he have maybe a hunch?
It could be.
Yeah, that something was coming out.
We're not serious people. I want to make that abundantly clear, because from the 832 on the text line, them boys online are calling him Justin Tugger, and I'm like,
oh God.
This clearly we need to be a little bit serious here. Just a little bit. I don't know.
Antonio Brown posted an AI picture of Deshaun and him chilling together.
All right. We're not being
Cleveland Browns here. Have just traded 3 first round picks for Justin Tucker.
I guess I should have foreseen such things. But yeah, that is the NFL.
We tried to be serious.
We are.
That is the NFL.
These people can't let us be serious for a second.
Justin Tucker is, you know, there's some allegations that have been thrown up. He denies that, you know, these are the case. He denies that he was ever, kicked out of his establishments. And two, he obviously denies the allegations of any, inappropriate business.
He's issued a statement, you know, which, of course, very quickly he did that, said it was unequivocally false. And then he went into several details, including saying the newspaper was making up these allegations, etc.
Do y'all think Tony Busby gonna jump on this case?
Do you think there's any way he won't?
Hey, Tony Busby got a lot going on now, man. This brother over here saying Jay-Z, P. Diddy.
Do you think this case is gonna make headlines?
It will.
He will make headlines. Yes. He will make sure it make headlines.
And then secondly,
he might buy out a suite with the victims and watch the game.
Is Tony Busby a lawyer?
Yeah.
And if there's two words that lawyers love, it is these two: billable hours.
Yeah.
And I feel like this sound like billable hours to me if I ever saw them.
Mm-hmm.
That is a wild thing to have dropped on a Thursday for Justin Tucker, the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. So if you got a Baltimore Ravens fan, maybe, you know, you might give him a little hand on the shoulder, like, you've been there.
Shoulder.
All right. So don't touch them at all. In fact, just nobody touch anybody. Let's avoid anything going in a bad direction. And on that note, that is the note exactly that I bring in. Clint and Show, the fellas of the drive. Fellas, how you doing?
Good, man. It's a tough one because somebody's life's ruined.
Mm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Either he is a total monster and an ass more than that, and he is ruined and cause serious damage to women's lives, or he will never be able to walk or have people not look
because of false allegations.
Really rough situation.
Being the man that I am, I go directly to. He's married with kids, ain't he?
Yes, he is.
Ooh, that's a
In a situation like this, because I know you have a lot more experience, and I know, Richie, you probably wanted to move off this, but you got more experience.
You are correct in your assessment.
I know the Baltimore Banner's not the first one who got this, right?
You
know what I mean?
I can guarantee you there are some reporters out there nationally and in Baltimore and on the East Coast that are kicking themselves that their lawyers didn't vet it faster than the Baltimore Banner. I can guarantee you that if they had the story.
So you think it wasn't vetted fast enough?
These types of stories, and I've been in those meetings.
Yeah.
Like, they come into the room and they go word for word, line for line. How do know this? Where did you get this?
I saw it happen when I was in Kansas City. That, you remember that whole Tyreek Hill thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Where there was a videotape. Mm-hmm. Well, it got sent to our station. I was literally on the air, and somebody called and said, I'm not going to tell you who I am, but I dropped it under the trash can. We had to go down there. And before we could even go, we had to have lawyers listen to it, make sure it was
authenticity.
It was like a day or day.
This isn't
and a half.
Just like somebody randomly saying in an opinion column, I think Bobby Slowick didn't have control of the team. These are allegations that changed lives, as you said.
Yes.
And so they bring in all kinds, like, all those newspapers, but a lot of newspapers had it.
Yeah.
A lot of reporters, Schefter might have had it, you know, but they just didn't get it done quick
That's
enough.
My thought. Well,
you would know John more than anybody. I mean, if this turns out to be false.
Oh, they're done.
That is a huge lawsuit for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, libel's a hard strike.
They literally go sentence by sentence. Yeah. Like, is there anything in
serious.
Here?
Yeah.
And the Baltimore Banner, just for folks, the Baltimore Sun is like the premier paper in Baltimore. But the Baltimore Banner's been around since 65. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like just some small paper. Yeah. It's just not the bigger of the two.
I like the name.
No, I do too.
Baltimore Banter.
I will be honest.
Everybody's got a son.
No. This is the first time I've heard of the Baltimore Banner. This is the first time I've heard of the Baltimore Banner.
It's
the Sun a lot, mm-hmm. not the Banner.
Yeah.
You reading that Baytown Sun on the regular?
No.
They still alive, cuz. Still alive, also, baby.
First time hearing of that one. Right now.
Oh, everybody knows.
Someone doesn't support local journalism. I don't know.
Everybody knows the old Baytown Sun.
Yes, indeed.
So, unfortunately, I did not have time because of this breaking news to ask you guys what this slight inconvenience you would wish upon your enemies. As was our question of the day. But, you know, maybe I'll text y'all. Stub toe just every day. Mm-hmm. Just always a stub toe.
Yeah, right. That pinky one.
Indigestion.
Indigestion was the one.
That's not slight.
That's true.
I mean, that causes cancer, I think.
That sent me to get my gallbladder removed.
Seth might have had, like, the leader in the clubhouse, which is that your enemy's significant other having, like, a work husband or work wife. Just because, like,
that ain't slight.
It ain't, yeah.
Especially for somebody less confident than me. I mean, I don't know, but I'd really appreciate that too much. But you take a man who's got a little confidence issue, a little security issue, hell, it drive him nuts.
That is true. That is true.
Right? The right hand, the unwanted right hand man of the past. He wants you to do everything.
Yes.
He's calling you for that's everything right. that you can't turn down. Because he's the pastor.
That's right. And you know you ain't getting no money for it. All right. We're done on the day in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We leave you with these fine folks. It is time for the drive. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, the drive is live.